Welcome to the Daily Stoic Podcast, where each weekday we bring you a meditation inspired by the ancient Stoics, a short passage of ancient wisdom designed to help you find strength and insight here in everyday life. And on Wednesdays, we talk to some of our fellow students of ancient philosophy, well-known and obscure, fascinating and powerful. With them, we discuss the strategies and habits that have helped them become who they are and also to find peace and wisdom in their actual lives. But first, we've got a quick message from one of our sponsors. I'm just about to go into the studio to record my latest audiobook. My wife and I have been listening to audiobooks. We've been listening to audiobooks in the car as a family just to keep our kids off screens because Audible is amazing. And Audible is also the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases and next to listen recommendations to satisfy every type of thriller listener. If you want breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that will enthrall you, even brand new and exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, then you want to check out Audible. My wife and I were just raving about this true crime audiobook that we read called Furious Hours. And then I've been raving about this book, Night of the Grizzlies, which I loved. Audio piques the imagination and it brings thrillers to life. And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog. Visit audible.com/dailystoic or text dailystoic to 500-500. That's audible.com/dailystoic or text dailystoic to 500-500. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now. This cannot be allowed to happen. The true end of the Republic did not come with the arrival of Julius Caesar. The sign that things had collapsed came years before, not once, but many times. The political process in Rome, which had never been perfect, broke down into throngs of violent street mobs. As Mike Duncan recently said on the Daily Stoic podcast and in his amazing book, The Storm Before the Storm, it started with the crisis of the year 133, the first time that political differences escalated to violence. Over what? A land redistribution bill. The nobles and the aristocrats assembled behind a senator and launched an armed attack, killing some 300 people. Rome had never seen such a massacre, as Duncan writes, and it was one of the bloodiest days in Roman political history. This is why the Stoics were so routinely aghast at mobs, why they warned against anger and chaos and hatred. They had witnessed it firsthand, not just the escalating violence that led to the collapse of the Republic either. They were themselves the victims of persecutions of philosophers. They saw how Nero all too easily was able to scapegoat the Christians as a ploy to distract the Romans from his incompetence and evil. And so it goes in America and many other nations. It's why the horrifying murder of Ahmaud Arbery can't be dismissed as just some crime that happened in Georgia. It's why violence against Asians and Jews cannot be tolerated, cannot be ignored. David French, another guest on the podcast, recently wrote a moving piece titled, Can America Be America When Jews Are Beaten in the Streets? No country can allow anyone to be beaten in the streets, let alone a vulnerable minority with a 2,000-year history of persecution. Because when the wolves of hate are loose, no one is safe. We cannot allow this to happen. We cannot allow our political process to devolve any further, to descend into open violence in the streets. We cannot dismiss these events as isolated instances. We cannot engage in whataboutism, because if we do nothing, as Marcus Aurelius said, we are not only committing an injustice by allowing injustice to happen, but we are ultimately imperiling ourselves, just as we saw in Rome, as we saw in Germany, as we have seen anywhere that mob violence is encouraged or allowed. Hey, it's Ryan Holiday. Welcome to another episode of the Daily Stoic Podcast. My guest today is a 2-time NBA champion, an 11-time NBA All-Star, and as it happens, an Olympic gold medalist, and the author of a wonderful new book that I was very excited and honored to get to work on with him. Chris Bosch happens to live here in Austin, Texas. We got connected, and he was thinking about doing a book, And I remember originally he was thinking, should it be a memoir? Should it be a basketball book? And I was telling him about two of my favorite books, Letters to a Young Jazz Musician by Winston Marsalis and Letters to a Young Poet by Rilke. I said to him, look, it's been weird how my books, which are ostensibly totally unrelated to sports in any way, have managed to make their way through all these locker rooms because coaches are looking for things that will improve their athletes personally, professionally, mentally, spiritually. And I said, why isn't there a book of letters to a young athlete? And I said, there's so few people who are remotely qualified to do this book. You know, you've achieved all the great prizes in your profession, but also, and we talk about this in the interview, because basketball was tragically taken away from you early, you have an appreciation and understanding of the game, having had it ripped from your life, in a way that I think makes you uniquely suited to give advice to young athletes. I said, what are all the things that you wish that you knew when you were coming up in the league, and how can people benefit from your experiences? And so I was lucky enough to collaborate on this book. It comes out this week. It's incredible. I was so impressed with Chris every step of the way. He inspired me. I think he got great work out of me, which is something we talk about how do you assemble a great team? How do you get the best of the people around you? How do you lead by example? And we also get into it in the interview. Chris is a big fan of Stoicism. He shares the stuff from the Daily Stoic all the time. So it's just really great to talk to this magnificent athlete, this sort of renaissance man of an artist, an athlete, an entrepreneur, a musician. He does all this interesting stuff. I think this is a great interview as we begin with my first interview in person in this space ever, and my first one since the pandemic began, you know, 15 plus months ago. So it was great of all the people to do in person. It was wonderful to talk with Chris. And here's the new book, Letters to a Young Athlete. You got to read it. You can follow Chris at Chris Bosch on pretty much any platform. And of course, chrisbosch.com as well. And you can check out his new record label, Daddy Jack Records. They're at Daddy Jack Records on Instagram. And enjoy the conversation. Do check out the new book. I do highly recommend it, although I'm a little biased, but it's quite good. Check it out. Here's my interview with Chris Bosch. So this is my first in person. Have you did a few in person things?
Yeah,
so
I've done
right?
a few in person things. I think it started like a couple of or a few weeks ago. We did like Family Feud.
You did Family Feud.
Did
That's
Family
amazing.
Feud the other week.
Did you win?
I can't tell.
Oh, you can't tell,
say,
right? Because
yeah.
there's the gap before
yeah,
it airs.
You sign stuff. It's crazy. So like we played. Well, we were on the game show, and that was like, I guess the first in-person kind of thing we went to. And then a few weeks before that, like restaurants, we were like, okay, hey, let's see if we can go to a couple restaurants. We went to start going back to our favorite restaurants. So things are slowly getting back there.
Yeah, it's weird. Even when you get the vaccine, you know you're good, but then you were just so used to being careful for so long that it feels irresponsible, even though the facts have changed. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
I think it's good to have that that layer of protection for yourself to be like, hey, let's wash our hands.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I know I'm a lot more conscious of how many times I touch my face and me just washing my hands and, you know, the mask. My thing is like, you know, I traveled a lot in my past life, right? So we probably should have been doing a little bit of
Why
it,
would
right?
we ever get in a thin metal tube with a bunch of strangers breathing the same air for like 8 hours in a row? It's insane.
You know, it's just a little layer of protection. And then, you know what? You could take it off once, you know, it's just, it probably should have been that way. But, you know, as we're kind of getting back to whatever the new normal is, I'm still definitely very, very aware and very cautious of things.
Well, because you have young kids also. So like the craziest thing for me the last year and a half is like, I haven't gotten sick like one time.
Yeah.
Like because when you have kids, you're just sick all the time because they're just like germ magnets. They bring them home. They lick
Especially
your face.
When you start school.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. I remember when my son started school. It's like I was coming from road to a baby.
Yeah.
And I mean, oh, I was sick all the time. And I couldn't even tell if it was me making him sick or him getting me sick. I couldn't tell anymore.
Well, that's what's so weird to me. Yeah. Even like in the NBA, right? Like they have like all the protocols now. And then if you know, a certain percentage of the team is vaccinated, then they can relax them.
Yeah.
But it's like, you basically have all these million-dollar racehorses, right? Mm-hmm. That's what professional athletes are, like the finest specimens. And it's kind of crazy that there was no protocols before. Like this Yankee coach, he came in the office. He ended up giving everyone COVID, but he's like, oh, I thought I just had the flu, right? Like, you're like, why would you bring flu into this finally calibrated environment? Like, why would you do that?
And anything will throw the whole business off. One loss can, not to be too dramatic, but you have that one bad stint can just mess up a whole season.
Yeah, I was talking to an NBA coach once, and he said that the team had like a day off in New York City. So they did like a family day where they all went to like the Natural History Museum or whatever.
Okay.
And so he said all the players, you know, like they don't usually get to take their kids to museums because they're on the road. So they took them. And he said the next day, every player was sore because they weren't used to carrying their kids around. And he's like, these are finely tuned machines.
Yeah.
And then we put them through this unexpected like motion. And then we had to like compensate for it so they didn't pull muscles.
I mean, they could have, it's easy for me to say, right? They could have saw that coming. I'm only saying that because I have carried my kids to museums and stuff like that.
No, you're just like,
you know what I mean?
And you wake up, your back hurts.
I've done the summer trips.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just, it's a lot of frustration there, you know? So I probably wouldn't do the family thing. I would probably do like a family park kind of situation. Museum, woo, boy. My kids don't want to go to a museum. I don't care how cool it is. And if you do get them to say, man, that's cool, they'll pick that one thing that you'll be like, no, guys, check out this exhibit. No.
Yeah.
I want to go over here. So, I mean, that's, you know, neither here nor there, but I'm sure they got something out of it.
Well, that's been weird to me, you know, sort of following, you know, some of the vaccination troubles with teams where it's like, these people will do anything for an advantage in the game. And then they can't get everyone on board with not just, forget like a life-saving, like the element of the vaccines. I think it's like, imagine if you just have to miss a playoff game because you're in protocols.
Yeah.
But like, so it's been weird how this pandemic has sort of challenged us rationally. Like things that if you ordinarily said, hey, here's this medicine that will prevent you from having to miss a game for the following reasons, they'd be like, sure, I'll do that in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Or you know, here's this chemical compound, rub on your body and you'll bounce back fast. They do it in 2 seconds. Then they're like, a vaccine. Like, no.
Yeah, it's definitely I guess a stigma out about vaccines.
It
gives people the willies.
It does. It's crazy. I was thinking about you though, because you, so 2020 threw like a bunch of people for a loop, right? It's like, we thought the year was going to be one way.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it was not that way and it'll never be the same again. And by the way, you're spending a lot more time with your family than you ever thought possible. That strikes me as a eerily similar to the journey you went on a few years ago when you suddenly get, you know, a blood test back.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very good, very, very good analogy, man. It was, I guess for me, and I kind of think about this all the time, doing one thing, like I was watching, I've been watching the playoffs, the play-in games and all that stuff. And it was an instance where they were talking about the age of Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant, James Harden, Steph Curry, the greatest players now. And they're 32, 33. And I said, wow, I was done playing by now. By that time in their career right now, I wasn't playing basketball anymore.
Right.
So that was just kind of a crazy thing. And then one of the things that I always kind of come back to is how casual it was in everybody, you know, in everybody's response. I'm not playing bad, the sport that I love, everything that I've done. And people were so cavalier with everything. Like, oh, Chris, you'll be fine.
Right.
Oh, it's good. You're good. You off. Man, early retirement. Like, yo, I'm turning 32 and I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get back in the league. I thought I was going to still play at that point in time. And I hadn't come to certain realizations yet. You know, but like just kind of going through that process of getting – first trying to find out what you're going to do, trying to have some sort of voice and then adjusting to the new world. And then I was joking with people like, man, last 3 years have been crazy. It's kind of been a bit of a kick in the nuts for me. Not to put everything on me. We all go through stuff, but you know, I couldn't play anymore. And then, you know, my brand new father again, I've got twins now. And so there's a new adjustment to that in the household. And then I'm not playing anymore. I don't know what I'm going to do. Then I think I got it.
Yeah.
Now the pandemic happens. You know what I mean? And it's like, guys, I've been thinking for like 2 years. Oh man, I've got this idea. I'm telling you, I bought a whole bunch of equipment. I was going to make like this, like a content creation center. Almost.
Yeah.
So I bought like a bunch of electronics, like a place where I can create content and some of my friends can, you know, just around the clock.
Yeah.
Pandemic happens.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my goodness. So, yeah, in which all of us had to do that. Right. But, you know, just kind of going through it, it is very similar in just saying how you have to, you're doing one thing and how you're used to it. And then next day, next week, next month is totally different and it's changed.
Yeah, there's that expression, man proposes, God disposes. You know, we have our plan and then life's like, nope.
Yeah.
It's not how it's going to go.
It's a good plan. It would have been a good plan.
It's still probably a good plan. I mean, this bookstore, right? This was supposed to open exactly a year ago. And life was like, no, you're going to sit on it for a year. And every single day you're going to wake up and go, was this a huge mistake? You know, is this ever going to happen? But that's like how it goes.
Yeah. It's kind of, it's playoff time. So I start reliving my playoff life. When I was playing basketball, that one of the key things that we always said was stay with it. You know, that's one of the things that will separate a good team from a great team. Because when you're a good team, you can win a couple games. It's great. When you're on top, it's great. But great teams, even when it's looking bad, they continue to stay. They stay together.
Sure.
They stay with their game plan. They stay with it. So you just got to say, hey, you can't be, you know, foolish or anything like that. But if you believe in your plan, if you've been working your fundamentals and it's like, no, we've got to this is the plan. Let's stay with the plan and keep going.
Yeah. The Stoics kind of talk about this like rhythm. You know, Marcus says, when you're jarred by circumstances, which is what happens, you have to come back to the rhythm.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's like that in basketball where it's like, you know, you're pretty good from the 3-point line, but you missed 3-4 in a row.
Right.
Now all of a sudden but that's your shot.
Right.
But statistically you're going to miss some sometimes, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you have to be able to go, okay, it didn't work for the following reasons, but I'm not going to throw out everything I prepared for. I have to recenter. And as you said, I have to stay with it because that's exactly what my opponent wants. My opponent wants me to be rattled by things not going my way,
sure.
Not getting the calls, me being tired.
Yeah, hoping, wishing. I'm applauding. No, you're thinking about something else. You're not thinking about the next evolution.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's always the most important thing.
Well, I think about trash talk too. Like, why do players talk trash, right?
Yeah.
It's because they want to get in your head. They
right.
want to rattle you. They want to upset you. They're trying to provoke a reaction. And I kind of think like life is kind of trash talking us too. You know, like life is trying to distract us, upset us, throw us off our game. And you have to be that person who they can just like lock in and tune it out.
Yeah. It's funny you say distracting and trash talking. The first thing comes to my mind, not so much about life trash talking me, but like KG, we were just in Springfield talking about it.
For the Hall of Fame thing?
For the Hall of Fame. And it was this one instance where we were playing each other and he was a avid trash talker.
Yes.
And not only do they use it to get in your head, but it's almost like just something thrown out to where if you give it attention, now they're hyped up too.
Yeah.
Now that, oh, what are you talking to? Who are you talking to? I'm, you know, it kind of starts going, right?
Sure.
And so I took the bait. I took the bait this one time and I had not the worst game of my career, but I remember it. That's how bad it was. And he gets into his zone and he pretty much dominates me. And I'm like, I'm tired. They win the game on a last second shot. I'm embarrassed. I was talking trash and I wasn't in shape because I didn't have a whole train. It was crazy, man. And I remember just like losing sleep, like having sleepless nights. Like, and he got the best of me. He called me a mama's boy and I lost it. Cause you know that piece of trash talk, it really gets you if it's true, right?
Right. Yeah, that's right. Right. They're throwing a bunch of stuff out there, and if 1% of it's true, that's the only thing you'll hear.
But we had a good laugh at it. But you know, that was I learned two things. I'm not a trash talker, and if someone or something is trying to get you off of your game, just do what you do. Be the player who you are, because you know that's where the ego can kind of get involved and say, oh well, I'm cool too, and I'm gonna say something to you, and they say something back, and it's a good one, you know. And then I think I score like 7 points. It was bad. I wasn't in shape yet. I learned that there was another level that I had to get to be successful, you know, no matter how much I thought I was cool.
You talk about this in the book a little bit, right? Which is like, especially for kids, you might not be up against Kevin Garnett, but you know, at any time you can log on to social media and find somebody has an opinion about you.
Of course.
Right.
Of course.
And I find that it's like, sometimes you can, I think sometimes you crave it, right? Like, you know, like, hey, I got to focus on this stuff. I got to do what I got to do. But then you also know, like, if I pull up the internet, I can get lost. It's like, you know, it's going to make you miserable, but you do it anyway.
Yeah. It's like that indulgence, right?
Yeah.
It's like your poison of choice.
Yes.
I was doing the same thing when I was a kid. Of course, social media wasn't as prominent, of course, but I had a desktop.
Yeah.
And it was a website. Oh man, Texas Prospects.com, something along the lines of that.
Sure.
And I would click on it, and I would be in the comments section. Even back then, you know, just reading stuff, and people would be talking trash and getting after. But yeah, it's like I had to. Like I had to look at it. I didn't learn until later on in my career. Of course, you know, when it's a kid, it's not threatening. It's fun. But you know, by the time I got to Miami, you know, in that first year that we got together, that was kind of when it reached its tipping point for me, and I was okay with it. I said, okay, I need to. This is ruining my day. This is the craziest feeling right now. I shouldn't feel like this one day. You know what I mean? And I stopped.
I don't think I've ever logged on to social media and then left and been like, I'm so glad I did that. You know, like I feel better as a person.
That's crazy, right?
Right.
That's crazy. I mean,
but then we do it anyway.
Yeah. I think you have to find that sweet spot, but yeah, you definitely, and I've kind of been very much aware of this too. Just, you know, one of the things I've learned from this pandemic, it was kind of like me watching the news.
Yes.
It locked me in for a good 4 years, 5 years, and I was watching it every day. But then, you know, the insurrection happened. Then after, you know, the election, and then, you know, then the insurrection, it was like, man, I can't do this anymore. I can't do it anymore. I have to be more aware of what I'm taking into my brain, because this is crazy.
Well, that's even the defense of some of the people who were arrested at the insurrection.
Yeah.
They're like, what? You know, they're like plea, or their defense is like, you don't understand. They've watched so much news. It's broken their brain.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it does.
Yeah,
it breaks your brain.
It can. And I mean, think about it. That's just the news aspect. How many levels and layers of information are on social media and on the internet? So, you know, anytime I'm like, anything I'm consuming, whether I'm watching it, you know, I'm very aware of it.
Got a quick message from one of our sponsors here, and then we'll get right back to the show. Stay tuned. I've talked a lot about my morning routine here. One of the things I do every morning after I get up is I take a bunch of vitamins that my doctor recommended after some blood tests. I take a vitamin C, a zinc, a omega-3, and I take a couple others who I'm forgetting, but I definitely know whose vitamins I take. And they actually happen to be today's sponsor, and I've been taking them long before Thorne sponsored today's episode. Thorne takes a personalized, innovative, and scientific approach to health and wellness with all their supplements, and they've teamed up with leading medical professionals to bring out highly effective nutritional supplements. Because I'm a runner, I'm always trying to take care of my joints. And with Thorne, I never have to question what's in each supplement. Give your body what it really needs with Thorne. Go to thorne.fit/dailystoic and use code dailystoic for 10% off your first order. That's thorne.fit/dailystoic and use code dailystoic for 10% off your order. Thorne.fit fit.com/dailystoic. Use code dailystoic. And note, these statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. There's a lot of things we know would be good for us. Problem is, we don't have time. It's just tougher. I think therapy is like that. We all know that sitting down, talking to someone, really working on our issues will make a difference. So the problem is finding a therapist, driving across town, all of that, right? And that's where Talkspace comes in, today's sponsor. Because by doing everything online, Talkspace has made getting the help you want easier, more accessible, and more affordable. With Talkspace, you can sign up online and get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically within 48 hours. You can have virtual sessions with your licensed therapist from the comfort of your home. And Talkspace is secure and private, using the latest end-to-end grade encryption to store client information and complying with the latest HIPAA regulations. As a listener of this podcast, you'll get $80 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to Talkspace.com/stoic and enter code SPACE80. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/stoic and enter promo code SPACE80, that's 80, to get $80 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's Talkspace.com/stoic, promo code SPACE80. So let's go back to what we were talking about earlier, which is like life throws stuff at you. To me, the definition of stoicism is that you don't control what happens, you control how you respond. Yeah. And that's what you have to do as an athlete. That's what you have to do as a parent. That's what we had to do the last year in the pandemic, which is like, how do I figure out how to make the best of it? Because you can't quit.
Quitting is not an option. That's one of the sayings I like to say is that, you know, failure is not trying to
yes. me,
you know, not even trying, just saying, you know, whatever excuse you give yourself not to try. Anything you go after, you're going to take some lumps. You're going to take some punches. You're going to get knocked down, you know. And I didn't understand that, at least for me, until, you know, losing in Dallas in 2011, which was crazy. It's 10 years ago almost to the date. And you know, I watch Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant every year. They make it to the finals all the time and they win.
Yeah.
You know, so when you get to a point where, you know, you think you have some immunity because of whatever accolades you've racked up in the past or because you're a professional basketball player on this level, when we lost, it really clicked in for me and just said, wow, okay. Because sure, I was dealing with things off the court as a person. You feel that's not fair. And then all these other things are happening, and that's not fair. At least we could win, right, this dumb championship. And then we lose it. And it's like,
How devastating is that?
It's like a loss in the family. You know, it's like it's a sudden loss, you know. And especially when you put yourself in a state of mind of visualizing yourself doing it for months and months and months, you know. And then for me, it was especially tough. It's my hometown team. We're playing the Mavericks. I'm watching my ex-classmates wear Mavericks jerseys and shirts. They didn't watch that stuff. Nobody wore Mavericks stuff back in the day. Now everybody's, right, you know, rocking the championship gear. It was just, you know, it was devastating, but it made me realize how I understood right away of, you know, Jason Kidd, Dirk Nowitzki, Jason Terry. Those guys went through pain losing back in 2006. Jason Kidd back in 2003 and again in 2004. You know, it's just, or 2001, 2002.
But imagine how devastated Jason Terry would have been because he got that tattoo, remember? He got it in advance.
Hey, man, hey. But, you know, and I learned something from that, too. I remember that because I remember looking at it like, oh, who do these guys think they are? Hey, man, you got to get it tatted on you sometimes. Failure is not an option. And understanding that, I understood after pretty much just coming up short and kind of having that pie in the face moment. And you know, knowing that I have to rebuild from that and you know, hopefully get back to that level the next year, but accept, you know, whatever consequence comes.
Yeah, I was talking to Manu Ginobili, and he was telling me like the pivotal moment for him was going up for that rebound with you. He said, he told me that he should have fouled you, is what he said.
Yeah.
But he was saying, you know, so he goes up for that, you know, they end up losing the series And he comes home and he's like, I've never been more unhappy in my life.
They had never lost.
Yeah.
Never lost.
And what he was saying, though, is what struck him was he was like, I'm living my dream. I'm one of the best people in the world at what I do. Mm. I gave my absolute best. If I'm not having fun, enjoying myself while I'm doing it, like, I'm going to regret it forever. So did you come out of losing with a better appreciation for the game and for win? Like, cause you know, you quote Kipling in the book, you know, like, to treat winning and losing as the right. same imposters,
the
you know, were you able to come out of that a little bit closer?
After the loss?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You, I hate the term losing builds character, but it kind of does. You just don't want to make it a habit. You know, you just don't want to make it a habit. But having those.
Yeah, show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser.
You know what I mean? So just like in that context, you think about the things that you could have done better. You think about maybe that day off where you're like, let me just kind of coast today, or that moment, even if it was just for a minute, that you kind of lost focus in what you do. And that time where you say, man, I should have been having a little more, I should have been enjoying myself a little more because we lost anyway, you know, right. At least could have had a good time. You
sure.
know, there's a fine balance in both. And I think for me, my personal journey with that was just understanding that it could happen to you. Understanding that, you know, just because of the level you're at doesn't make you impervious to these things. You're human.
Yeah.
You're going to have to go through this process. And sometimes you're just going to get knocked, going to get beat up.
You know,
what are you going to, like you say, how are you going to react? How are you going to be the one to, challenge the way that you think in getting better after this? Are you going to get better, or are you just going to kind of sit around and complain? Because after a while, you know, that's only going to get you so far eventually, which for most of us was right away. But like, you know, I got back on the horse and you know, got to a point to say, man, I'm not going to let it beat me next time.
Because there's some ego in it too, right? There's this quote I love. It's the first sign of an impending nervous collapse is the belief that your work is terribly, terribly important. And it's like, what you do is important. Like, I care so much about my books. But then, you know, like, one of the things that's great about having kids is like, they don't care at all. You know, like it's nothing to them. You might as well be an insurance salesman, you know, and it helps put it in perspective, which is that it's important and excellence is important. And as you said, you don't want to make losing a habit. At the same time, if you think that it's a matter of life and death, it's probably actually a bad strategy over the long term.
Yeah. You don't want to, like, fight or flight is there for a reason, right?
Yeah.
You want to fight or flight. If you're having those feelings and you're not fighting or flighting, I don't understand, you know, and it's especially if we're putting, sometimes you can't help it.
Yeah.
You're going to have your reaction. But if you're putting in, like you say, those life or death situations, I've known people and I've done that for myself as well.
Yeah.
It's life or death. This game is, you know, sometimes you use it to kind of psych yourself out. But yeah, after a while, you've got to be loose.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have a flow to things. You just can't be rigid. You know, that was one of the things I learned playing the game too. You know, in losing that series against Dallas, we were just so uptight.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, man, just too tight. Nothing was loose. You know, we weren't trusting the work that we had put in up until that point. And we were just kind of beside ourselves a little bit and not concentrating on playing. We were concentrating on mistakes or making it life or death or saying, oh my God, we lost a game. Yeah. Okay, we got to win the next one then.
Golf is a good metaphor, I think, in that, you know, like the harder you try, the worse you are at it. Like, you still have to be good. You still have to train, you know, you still have to know your fundamentals. But like in Buddhism, they talk about willful will. If you have too much willful will, if you're trying to force it too much, that's when you,
yeah.
And you mentioned sort of tight, loose, like that's what a trainer wants you to be. They want you to be loose. If you're tight, that's when you hurt yourself.
For sure. That's when you hurt yourself. That's when you start pulling stuff. And you know, in playing for different coaches, you know, the greater coaches, they emphasize being loose, you know, as a team, you know, you might do something, instead of practice today, let's watch a movie.
Yeah.
You know, let's watch He Got Game or something like that, you know, and let's discuss it, or let's do things to make sure that we're loose, we're good. Let's not be in this tension of life or death for the whole time, because, you know, we're human beings. We pick up on those things pretty good. And if it's like that collectively as a group, if everybody's tight, then, you know, it's really not going to work.
I think that's like, for instance, the unfair advantage that Tom Brady has, right? He's been there so many times. He can be like, when you watch him when he's up against, you know, like a Jared Goff, who's the first time he's been in the Super Bowl, like, by definition, who's looser? The guy who's been there like a dozen times, you know, the guy who's not only been in the Super Bowl, but been down by 25 points in the 100%. Super Bowl. You can be chill because you're like, you and I have talked about this, where it's like the difference between ego and confidence. Confidence is loose. Ego is like, my identity's riding on this.
Right.
Everything.
Right.
But confidence is like, been here before.
Yeah, hey, I've been here before. Remember that time we discussed if we're down 25 at halftime?
Yeah.
This now is the time to implement those things. Good thing we've talked about this, because these are the packages we need to run.
Yes.
And I mean, even if I'm in Jared Goff's situation, being a young quarterback, getting to the Super Bowl, you know, Goff, Tom Brady, oh my goodness, you can get into all that stuff. I found that game fascinating because Tom knew, like, okay, we're just going to grind these guys into the ground. We're going to make it close, because I know they're a little tight.
Yeah.
If it's a third and four and they're down three, they're going to feel a little bit, you know, different, because they're used to their offense running at a certain level.
Right.
And if it's not running at that level, they're going to, you know, they're going to feel it a little bit. So, you know, it's just kind of, you got to train, man. You have to identify what those things that, you know, first what you want to do, and then work backwards from there and say, okay, hey, I want to be a really good basketball player, or we want to win a championship as this team. All right, cool. These are the things that we need to do. We've got to communicate good. We've got to make sure we're practicing and putting the work in every day. And we have to make sure that we're together and we know our stuff. So when it hits the fan, because it will.
Yeah.
When, you know, we stay together, you know, and make sure we're, you know, doing the things that we always practice.
Well, that goes back to what you were saying earlier about staying with it. If you've been there a bunch of times and you know, like, we're going to win this game. We don't care if it's sexy, if it's exciting. Like, we'll play. Belichick and Brady were like, this will be the most boring fucking Super Bowl in history. We don't care. But Goff is like, I got a reputation for throwing it. I'm not being able to throw it. People are going to blame this on me. You know, all those things running through your head, they make it hard to stay with it.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, in the situation for like a Jared Goff or even Mahomes, you know, having that, you know, he's running from defensive linemen for the whole game. You know, you have those moments and say, okay, cool. You remember everything that was running through your head. And I even for myself, you know, don't get too high, don't get too low, right?
Yeah.
We were, when we were playing in the finals, we win game one. We about to win a championship.
Yeah.
Lose game two, embarrassingly. Oh. Our game two loss, we gave up a 12-point fourth quarter lead late. Oh, man, so embarrassing. Bad. Then we get in the game three, we win that one. Yes! We're about to win it again. We back on top. And then, you know, then after that, we fell off a cliff. So, like, that was my experience. Should have been straight the whole time. Because regardless, the game is going to have a beginning and end. You know, you're going to have to go through the motions of this game. But, like, that helped us win. We played the Spurs, because it's just like one of those things. You flinch for a minute, you lose, you know? So you have to kind of go through the process each game, good, bad, and different, you know? And regardless, you try to do better the next time around.
We have a chapter about in the book about leadership, and I think people think leadership is, you know, Tom Brady must have gone in the fourth quarter of that game, they're down 28-3, and given the most exciting speech in the history of sports. You know, like he's Churchill, you know, like we're going to fight the Nazis on the beaches. That's what you expect. But yeah. I think actually leadership is like, Tom's not rattled.
Yeah.
You know, like I imagine, Chris doesn't seem to think we're in any trouble.
Right.
And that, especially for the younger people on the team, to be able to look to the leadership and go, these guys think we still have a chance. That's mm-hmm. what leadership is. Like, yeah. You know, they say calm is contagious.
For sure.
So is hope. So is confidence. All those things are contagious.
One of the things, speaking of Tom Brady, you saying that part, that was the year before that. But the main thing that I watched to where leadership was that nobody really even talked about was last year, as soon as he got signed with the Bucks. They're out on the field.
Yeah.
Like,
at like a high school.
Running around.
Yeah.
Out on the field in the heat. I'm sure football players, like, oh my God, I'm sure.
In Florida.
Over so many people. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that went over so many people's head because people only think about the speech that he might be giving right now or why is he back here again? And they'll show them raising the trophy on replay. I only remember it being in the moment. Them running the routes, those are the highlights they need to show, you know, because there's a reason why they're cool, calm, and collected, because they've gone over and over and over and over. And then, so when you're in these situations and you're a leader, you know, you're looking to them, well, first, I've put the work in with this person, so I feel comfortable. You know, hopefully they've had a few meals together and they've had some good time. So just like, you know, to your point, if they're not rattled, okay, now – I will go with this person and lead them because, you know, if you're being a mean person and nobody likes you, or you being a, you know, an asshole on the bench or something, you know, people won't follow you to that part. But, you know, doing those small things of when the situation starts, instead of looking at the, you know, grand picture right away, saying, okay, we want to get there. This is what we got to do. We got to work on our fundamentals.
Got a quick message from one of our sponsors here, and then we'll get right back to the show. Stay tuned. I've raved about Athletic Greens before with all the things we've all got going on, trying to work, stay healthy, stay strong, work out. It's hard to get the right mix of nutrients in your diet, and Athletic Greens is a great product. I actually first heard of Athletic Greens almost 10 years ago. From Chris the Kiwi, the founder, he and I met through Tim Ferriss. He's a great dude. Athletic Greens has more than 75 vitamins, minerals, and other whole food sourced ingredients that make it easier for you to maintain nutrition without taking a whole lot of pills. You just mix a scoop of Athletic Greens into some water and you're good to go. They're offering my audience a free 1-year supply of vitamin D. Plus, you'll get 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Simply visit athleticgreens.com/stoic. Join us in making this commitment to your health. Just go to athleticgreens.com/stoic and get your free 1-year supply of vitamin D plus 5 free travel packs today. Yeah, there was another story that I think also got looked over. Remember where he like accidentally went in the wrong person's house? Did you hear this one?
He
thought he was going over to like one of the quarterback coach's house to pick up some plays, and he was new in Tampa, and he went in the wrong house. It was a story because like it's the middle of the pandemic, and some guy just looks back, and Tom Brady's in his house like looking for a binder or whatever. But what I loved about that is you have the greatest quarterback of all time, one of the greatest athletes of all time. Go into his coach's house in the off season to pick up a binder of plays to study. You know, like he could have got a PDF.
Yeah.
He could have said his assistant.
Right.
He could have made him come to him.
Right.
But like when you're hung, to me, that's also embodying good leadership, which is like, nobody's too big to learn.
Yeah.
You know, nobody has it down.
Yeah.
Like you got to put in the work, and you put in the work before the season even starts.
For sure, man. For sure. I think so many people could really benefit from that, because there's so many too many times when I, you know, the media, they have their job to do. It's time to pump it up. But if you're, you know, trying to go after something, it's a process and you cannot cheat it. That is one thing you cannot do. You can't cheat the process. And then that doesn't guarantee you anything. You have to have your stuff together because, you know, you want to win. That doesn't guarantee a win, right?
Yeah.
You just have to make sure you're doing your process, I had the chance to have a conversation with Kobe. You know, of course, we were friendly, and we'd have dinner. We try to have dinner once a year, and he always talked about loving the process of what you do. That's important. You have to love what you do and love putting the work in, because some days are gonna suck.
It's always gonna suck to go in the gym and shoot 10,000 free throws, right? Suck.
And, yeah. And I mean, everybody's like, "Oh, Kobe, this is amazing." He's like, "Yeah, that's cool, but think about my day. I get up at 4:30, take my kids to school. I lift weights. I go to practice. I pick them up for school. Then I've got to do treatment because I'm 35 years old in the league. So Then I got to do treatment, and then by the time I finish all that stuff, the day's over. Yeah. I don't do anything else. This is all I do, You know. And if you take on that approach, you know, to something that you love, if you can stick with it, and even in those tough days, you know, that's where you want to be.
Well, I think people miss this. I forget which writer told me this, but they were saying, you know, there's a difference between writing and publishing. Publishing is fun, right? Playing in the finals is fun, right? Playing in the NBA is fun. Practicing in the NBA is not as fun.
Right.
You know, like me sitting up in my office, I'm working on this book right now. I don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Like I haven't cracked it. Every day I wake up and I'm not making any progress, or it doesn't feel like I'm making progress. You have to love the painful part.
For sure.
And then the other part's extra.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
The grind.
Yes, you have to love the grind.
You got to love the grind, man. And you know, just speaking to what I was saying earlier, like that's the part I always like to think of. Anytime something gets hard, if I'm pursuing a goal, you know, and I want to quit, it's going to come. It's going to come. It's okay. Right? How many people would quit right now? You know, that's the first thing I think about. Then I keep going.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, okay, I'm not going to let this drop me off, you know, and just keep me away from what I'm doing. And I think that's fascinating, you having that problem writing a book, because I'm pretty sure people are like, oh, yeah, when's the next book coming out? Soon, huh? You know, it's like, it's hard work. I'm kind of stuck, but it's cool. You know, we'll be fine.
Well, look, if it was easy, if there was no wall around it, right? Not only would everyone do it, but then everyone would do it, and there wouldn't be any money in it, right?
Yeah.
Like, I know that sounds crass, but like, there wouldn't. Scarcity is what creates value.
Oh, for sure.
Right. So, if everyone could do what you did, and if it was fun from beginning to end,
Everybody do it.
There'd be a million people doing it, and nothing would break through the noise, right?
Yeah.
Like, lots of people want to be in the NBA, but there can only be 500 of the best players in the world at one time. And so the people who, if there could be 10,000 players, like it changes the whole game. So I always go like, it's good that it's hard, right? If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it.
Everybody
and this would be a minimum wage job, you know?
It would just be spread. Okay, everybody get to, you know, spread. But, I mean, it is what makes it special.
Yes.
You know, it is what makes things special. It's rising to the occasion when it's time, you know?
Yeah, it's like a moat keeps people out, or a moat is keeping you out, but you want to think like it's also keeping everyone else out. So it's like if you can get across this, you've got a barrier. It's like it's preventing you from getting in, but once you get over, it's keeping everyone else out too.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it.
Yeah. So there's a book behind you. I was just thinking about when I think of you, one of my favorite books, Range. Have you read Range?
I have not.
Oh, so it's the subtitle is How Generous Triumph in a Specialized World. What's interesting is like, obviously to be great, the NBA, you have to, any professional athlete, you have to be super specialized, right? Years and years, 10,000 hours of practice. But at the same time, you're not one of those guys who, as Kobe's all basketball. You were not all basketball. Mm-hmm. You had a range of interests, mm-hmm. and you explored those. I'm curious how guitar, music, language, reading, all the other things that you mm-hmm. did, how did that make you a better basketball player, and how is that sort of informed even now when you think about with your kids?
Yeah. I always had other things, you know, language, guitar and music came a little later. I had given up. I gave up on it in my mid-20s, early 20s. That's why I, you know, went back to it. But, like, I always wanted to do some things to take my mind off of basketball.
Sure.
Right? It's a lot of flights, a a lot of bus rides. So, you know, you need some hobbies. I didn't think of it this way, but I had a friend that told me, yo, hobbies lead to greatness, you know? And I always thought that fascinating, and just that made me look back on things. And I did these things just to kind of get my mind off of the game.
Sure.
Because, you know, I was all into basketball. That is all I did, but I also had other interests. And one of the things that I found was when I'm, like, so for instance, during the playoffs, I would cook. The day before a game, I would cook dinner. Because you have to concentrate on the meal or it's going to suck.
Right.
You know, so I'm looking at the time. I'm checking the meat. I'm making sure I don't boil the water over. It's a thing that I have to focus on.
Sure.
You know, because if I don't, my brain is going to start going, and then we're going to start thinking about tomorrow, and I'm going to be back in that rabbit hole.
Which right.
is fine.
Sure.
But you don't want to be there all the time. And one of the things I found is that once I start relaxing in my cooking or in me playing the guitar or in me studying for something in language, I see some weird connection to where I think about basketball. But it'd be like, oh, okay, I could put that to the side. It's like it was this crazy thing of no judgment. Wow, I never thought of that before.
Yeah.
This is the move I'm going to do tomorrow. I got it.
Right. Know? Yeah, sometimes when you're thinking about something else, mm-hmm. you create room for your brain sort of subconsciously mm-hmm. to solve some problem that we talked about, willful will. You know, if you're, I got to solve this, you're not going to make any progress.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I read something somewhere, like Einstein played the violin. If he ran into a problem, he just played violin for days, weeks, hours, whatever it took. So I always thought that pretty fascinating. And that's kind of what I started using my hobbies for.
Because the grind will grind you down if you don't have anything to refresh.
All the way down. You can stay in it and you can, you know, I was working with this, with a video game team in the Overwatch League. And it's these Korean kids, you know, living in L.A., competing. Yeah. And they weren't doing too good. They're supposed to be the best team in the world, and they weren't doing too good. And their thing is to be like, okay, 18 hours a day. Okay,
playing video games.
Like, hey, guys, you know what? Sometimes, go to the park.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just stink.
Yeah, sure.
I've been there plenty of times. Sometimes you just need to go in there and be like, yeah, get out of here. Go for a walk. Go eat a delicious meal. Go do something else. Get out of here. You know, there is, you know, a lot of something to take from just taking time off. There, that is, you know, you do need time to repair your brain and your body to be able to compete at maximum level.
I bet that made you more resilient when the game went away too, because so many people, their whole life, they're a whatever, then they retire and then they're like, who am I?
Right.
You at least knew you had other things you liked to do.
Yeah, and it was still tough.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine, like, not having anything to go through a whole career and say, well, I didn't do anything like anything else. I mean, I didn't watch TV. I didn't do anything,
sure.
You know? And you know, as difficult as it was, you know, I did some writing and I did, you know, music and I, you know, learned a couple languages and I was just always open to, you know, going on vacations with my wife. She be on me as soon as the season ended. She's like, hey, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
Cause she knows she only got me for a month.
Right.
So, I mean, we would, you know, take the kids and we'd be in Europe and, you know, take those vacations and really just take in other cultures and stuff like that. And then even after that, even after me losing my career in basketball, it was still difficult, you know, but
yep.
I had something to say, okay, well, let's go watch a film or let's go on vacation. You know, if I could, you know, luckily I could afford one, you know, but like, you know, you just get, it's these avenues. You don't know what's down them, but
sure.
I'm going to go down and see what's here. You know, it makes me feel good.
Yeah. I asked Doug Christie, who's one of my heroes growing up as a basketball player. I asked him what I should ask you. And he said, because he knows you're sort of an intellectual guy. You're always trying to learn stuff. He was saying, "What is there anything that you've learned since you stopped playing that you wish you knew while you were playing?"
I would say like getting more into the body and treatment and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah.
You have a chapter about that in the book.
Yeah,
like what,
yeah.
How much you have to invest in taking care of yourself.
I wish I would have done a little more.
Really?
Yeah, a little more. I mean, I was into it quite a bit because being around LeBron and Dwayne, seeing the level that they were at, I said, okay, I got to get to this level. And I was getting better and better and I was getting older.
Yeah.
And so you get more into the technology. I wish I would have just taken a little bit of time to, even back then, just take, you know, this hour, 2 hours a week, you know, just squeeze it in there.
Yeah.
And I would definitely like learn more about money.
Oh, interesting.
I would just the fundamentals, just take, you know, take the time, 1 hour every other week, nothing crazy, but just have someone walk me through these things so that I can understand it. Cause you can, you know, you kind of get to a point where it's like, yeah, I'm under a mountain and I don't, I don't know what's going on.
Well, I can relate to both those things. You know, obviously for an athlete, like your tools are your body, right? But like, I'll find this like every once in a while, I'll be like I like to write in Sharpie, right? And like, you know, Sharpies start to, they get dull. And like, I'll just be using this Sharpie and I'll be like, why am I using this old Sharpie? You know, like a Sharpie is, you know, like it's weird. We know businesses are supposed to invest in themselves, right? They take the profits, they put it into R&D tools, they hire great people. But then when it comes to us, especially if you work for yourself, you know, you're like, okay, this is the best, physical therapist in the world. They cost $200,000 a year or something.
Yeah.
Like that sounds insane.
Yeah.
But like if it had given you a year more of playing,
right,
that would have been the greatest investment you could have ever made.
Right.
You know, if this Sharpie, if because it's not working, I don't write something down that ends up being a chapter in my book. Like you can't, it's hard to calculate what stuff's worth, but like you can end up cheaping out on things that are where you should be investing the most time and money. You know what I mean?
And I mean, that's a hell of a thought. Like, and you know, young athletes, they're coming from a position where, you know, nothing to then you're cast in the spotlight. And, you know, I guess that's just life.
Yeah.
How could you know? You know, yeah, now you're a Fortune 500 company. Now you got to run it.
Yeah.
Don't mess up.
Yeah.
And don't go broke.
Yeah.
That doesn't even make any sense. The kid's 18.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's this narrative of saying, oh, well, athlete's going broke. Like, yeah. You know. There's no tools that we're given. You don't even go to a workshop. You're just like, all right, cool. You're working now, and this is what you do. You know, so it can be in a point of being overwhelmed, but I find myself in a position now of really understanding more about teamwork, more about, you know, investing in those things that could help you out. And, you know, looking for talent and making those close connections with people to hopefully help you, or you could help each other achieve greatness.
Well, and when you're young, you know, there's obviously genetics, that whatever makes you tall and a good athlete. But then there's also just the fact that like you are used to just like being able to treat your body like crap.
Yeah.
And then as you get older,
right,
you realize like, right, oh, to get the same gas mileage, I have to put in better fuel. You know,
right,
I have
and
to work
harder.
And
you know, you're going to eat some crap every now. You know, I love McDonald's, but I knew some guys, they had a bag coming into I'm not going to say a bag full of what, but just the bag coming into the game.
Yeah.
You know, but those are those, you know, just things of people coming from where they come from and just not having the tools to learn more. And, you know, hindsight is always 20/20, right? But, you know, those are definitely some of the things that I wish I would have known. That's why, of course, writing these things, right? You want those.
You want people to hear, benefit from your experiences.
Yeah, hear it now. Stretch now, man. Why not? LeBron stretched. I didn't.
Yeah. I remember when you asked me to work on the project with you, I remember you had a call with me and the marketing people and the publisher and the editor and all these people. And you said something that really stuck with me. This goes to your point about teams. You said like, how can we make this a championship team? and it struck me that like, because I don't think about what I do as a team sport because it's usually not.
Yeah.
But you coming from a team sport, you realize the team's not just the four other guys on the court with you, but then the people on the bench and the trainers and the person who books the flights and
popcorn man.
Yeah.
Shoot, the lady at the parking.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah. Well, actually I remember I went to a game once and I was going up in the elevator and I saw that the elevator guy had a ring. like mm-hmm. a championship ring. Mm-hmm. They were like, they gave everyone in the building a ring.
Yeah.
But I got to imagine you understand better than most that success is a team effort.
Yeah.
And you got to figure out who you want on your bus.
Absolutely.
To get where you're trying to go.
Man, that is one of the main lessons I learned after I was done. So, you know, in this mode of reinvention and rediscovery and finding out who I am as a person, that's what I tell. If we have any retired athletes watching this, you have to learn who you are. I'm still learning, of course, but
sure. It's a lifelong journey.
Yeah, it's, you know, you try to go into things, you know, that's a time for focus, concentration, like, okay, what, you know, what's in here? You know, I'm sorry, I forgot the question. I just wanted to say
team
that
sport.
Part.
You were saying that you forgot.
So like after coming right out of that and in my self-discovery, you know, I try to do some things or we try to do some things in the house and it's just hard.
Because someone like, used to take care of everything.
Yeah,
right?
Somebody used to take care of those things. Then it's like, okay, those people that we could call, hey, I'm going to be real. The phone they don't pick up as much or it's not ringing as much, you know. You're not on the forefront of people's head. So, like, that made me understand even more so how important teamwork is.
Right.
And, you know, how important, you know, and one of the things, like, that I thought was fascinating in my musical journey, just doing music, you know, sometimes people get very, you know, with art and music and stuff like that, people get very protective of their IP, right?
Yeah.
Which they should be.
Sure.
But, like, Quincy Jones, when he did Thriller, he got the baddest people on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, the engineer, the trumpet player. And they, you know, of course, it's the greatest album of all time, but he didn't do it on his own. You know, it takes a team effort to achieve greatness.
Got a quick message from one of our sponsors here, and then we'll get right back to the show. Stay tuned. The Daily Stoic is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. One of the cool things about podcasts is that you can multitask while you're listening, but depending on what you're doing right now, like for instance, if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you could be doing. You could be getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $700 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join over 29 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $698 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. I talk about that in Growth Hacker Marketing. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stoic. That's netsuite.com/stoic. To me, the most beautiful part of the book is the conclusion. You say that idea, it's like, look, one day you lace up your shoes.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And it's the last time you're ever going to lace up your shoes. Basically, yeah. That like life is fragile. Stuff changes. You never know when the last time you get to do something. And you really felt that in a way much more, you know, everyone has a last game, but, you know, Kobe got a farewell tour.
Right.
You know, they know it's their last season.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get that.
Mm-hmm. That, man, I've read the book 12 times. That's like, well, 13, including the audio thing, right? And the last time I read it, that was the thing that struck even me. Like reading the conclusion over was like, wow. And please read the conclusions. I can't say that I always read the conclusions, you know, but just kind of understanding that and knowing and saying, man, like, yeah, it was just all over one day. Like, no, it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't a farewell tour. My good friend Dwayne Wade, they had the world tour.
Yeah.
Had T-shirts.
Doc Rivers didn't grab the mic and give you a speech.
Yeah, you know, Dirk, I'm out, you know, yeah. Which is classic Dirk, yeah. Right? But, like, you know, just having the chance for those moments, it made me realize how unique and how special those moments were and to be happy for those guys. But just what normally happens. I had another friend who, he just got hurt. There's nothing wrong that he did.
Yeah.
He just kept breaking his foot. And, you know, we could argue of whose fault it was. It wasn't his fault because he just wants to play.
Right.
Between doctors and teams and trainers, the ball was dropped.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, people were blaming him.
Yeah.
And then he's not in the league anymore just because of an injury.
Right.
You know? So it made me realize how real the situation is, you know, of what we're really talking about. Like, yeah, it could be over one day. So make sure you're taking these moments now. Stay in your moment and you know, just enjoy it. And make sure you're enjoying what you're doing because it was just a regular game. And that's what I have come to understand is that, man, I like how it ended. You know, Da Vinci, most of his paintings were unfinished, right? His masterpieces were unfinished. That's how my basketball career is. You know, it was just a day. It would have been too much pressure to say, this is it. This is the last game. Let's make everything perfect for Chris. It was just coming to the game. The announcer announced it. Popcorn people, you know, passed out the popcorn. We enjoyed the show, you know, and I played. I had a dunk, you know. Man, Chris Webber called my game. Who is going in the Hall of Fame with me? You know, it just kind of hindsight, of course, looking back on, and I appreciate it. But yeah, that conclusion is powerful. It's really powerful. I hope people really, really understand that.
Yeah, like Da Vinci's, you know, journals is like, you know, he writes in these notebooks. He's doing a drawing, and his last words, his last creative words were like, I got to go. The soup's getting cold. And he's like, you know, he had no idea
that
was going to be the last thing that he wrote in his journal. He thought he'd come back and do 1,000 more pages.
For sure.
But you never know.
You got to live it. That's why I tell people it has to be a part of your lifestyle. You have to live it. So, you know, if it's a part of the repetition that you do, it's a part of your life. It won't be this unnecessary pressure using that fight or flight for something that doesn't exist.
Well, to me, the ultimate metaphor of sports, and I'm stealing this from someone, which is that, you know, it's like the life cycle of a person sped way up.
Yeah.
You know, like
for sure.
I'm now, the athletes that are now my age are now like old and retiring.
Yeah.
You know, like the people that I remember being a year older than me, you know, like I remember and they're all out. And so you're watching life sped up, you know, and you see in an athlete the aging process faster, right? You're like, oh, you know, he's a savvy veteran. It's like, he's 27, you know?
Oh, that was vintage.
Yeah.
I think I read something. D. Rose wrote a piece on it. I read it somewhere. But he said, yeah, what does that even mean? Vintage, what? So I'm successful and I can run all over the place when I'm in my early 20s. And I'm successful and running all over the place in my 30s. And you say it's vintage. It's some weird thing. But then the kicker is, you know, you'll be old in the locker room and everybody, oh, old man. Then you retire and you come into life. Hello, young man.
Yeah.
Ah, you don't know nothing.
Right. Yeah.
You know, or you're trying to have one thing like, you know, I can afford to take my kids to private school and put them in private school. All of my friends are 50. Yeah. I'm with the dads. They're in their mid 50s, you know, lawyers and doctors and stuff like that. And it's just like kind of this, you know, it's two different worlds, you know, but you have to get used to it and you just got to stick with it.
Well, we'll come back to that, but there's something that I experienced too. So I like dropped out of college. I was successful young. And I remember I was talking to this movie producer who was like 26. I was like 19. He's 26. So he seemed so old to me. Right.
You're 19.
And I was like, tell me what you've learned. You know, he's like, give me this wisdom, you know, cause we'd been on similar tracks. And he's like, look, he's like, when you're 20, when you're 21, you're successful. Everyone's like very impressed. He's like, all my friends thought I was so cool. I was a movie producer in my 20s. He's like, now I'm 26. All my friends have now graduated from medical school. They're doctors, right? Like they caught up, right?
Right.
You know, everything regresses towards the mean. So I bet it's probably humbling too, where like you take your kids to private school And you're just another rich guy with kids in Texas.
That's like, so funny. Like, we were at this art. Me and my wife went to this art exhibit. And, like, that's where everybody knew me from. It was oh, yeah, the carpool line. Yeah, hey, Chris, how's it going?
Right.
He's in my carpool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was the funniest thing, because that's where everybody, you know, recognizes you from. And you can, you know, it's the thing we have to fight. You know, that ego keeps knocking at you.
No, I'm special.
Yeah.
I'm like, special. No, I did something special.
No, you don't know. Back in my day, you know, I didn't wait in lines.
Yeah.
You know, it was so funny. And what was interesting for me, I was not immune to these emotions.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, now I understand what the old timers go through.
Yeah.
I get it now. Let me make sure I'm humble in all of these things that I'm going through and make sure that I understand that it's a phase and we'll work through it. I'm going to stick with it and I'm not going to let it get to me too much because, you know, the feelings and emotions, like you'll watch the game. Ah, they're not that good. Like,
yeah.
Dude, where did that come from? Oh, my goodness. Listen to myself, you know?
Well, one of the most powerful parts of meditations to me is Marx Aurelius goes, he's like, he just starts naming names. He's like Vespasian, Octavian, Hadrian. He's naming the emperors. And you probably, like of the three I just named, you probably heard of like one of them.
Right.
That was like the most powerful person in the world.
Right.
And he was like, even then, like, you know, there's only like three emperors behind him.
Yeah.
They're gone. Nobody remembers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you get inducted to the Hall of Fame. That's incredible. You're the 0.1% of the 0.1%.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, some kid, you know, just getting in the league today, he's like, Chris Bosh?
He was okay.
Yeah, well, if he's heard of you at all.
Right.
You know, like I try to think about, you know, I read a lot of old books. You'll get some old book and you'll be like, that you never heard of. And you're like, winner of the Pulitzer Prize. And you're like, what?
This crazy. One,
I've never even heard of it.
Crazy.
And it came out in 1997.
Yeah.
You know, like.
And think of what if that person was just dragging, just banging their head against the wall to get that prize.
Yeah.
And this will justify me and everybody's going to know me. How
25 years later, they're irrelevant. So if you think, you know, if your intention of being good at what you do, you talk about finding your why in the book. Mm-hmm. If your intention is to be the most famous, the greatest in the world, you might get it, but it will be unsatisfying because it's not going to give you what you think you want.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus in Meditations, he says, Alexander the Great and his mule driver, they're both buried in the same ground.
Yeah.
You know, like the guys that you beat out for roster spots in high school, college, pros, you are now both have something in common, which is that you don't play basketball anymore.
Man, I was speaking with a friend of mine. He was a guy that we had him at a few of the Heat camps. And, you know, he was in that tough spot of, you know, G League, overseas.
Yeah.
Maybe a few games in the league.
Somebody like, gets hurt.
Man, that's a tough schedule, man.
Right.
And he's in a position where he's, you know, thinking about retirement.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, he called me up. And it's like, wow, isn't this crazy? We're just, you know, in the same spot. I can hear the kids in the background, you know.
It's the great equalizer.
Yeah, we're trying to figure things out. And it's like, wow, you know, how many – I'm just glad I was a nice guy back then and, you know, cool to talk to because, damn, what if – you know, it's good to like, and now that I'm done playing, it's interesting because like I walk in the room, people, hey, man, how's it going? It's cool to see people smile, you know, because it could be the opposite.
Sure.
And for him to reach out and say, yo, I'm going through this, I'm going through that. It's like, wow, this is crazy. How about this? We're retired guys now. And man, my buddy's getting, I have a friend, he's getting married in October.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wow, and I'm going to be in his wedding and we're just, you know, doing the things, you know?
Well, it's like who was runner-up for the MVP 3 years ago? You know, like, or who was Ronald Reagan's vice president?
Right.
Like, you know, it gets equalized real fast in not that long of a time.
Yeah, it's very short, man. I mean, it's very short. And I mean, I get to, you know, I was lucky enough to get to live over and over in that tape loop of an NBA champion.
Sure.
Which is great, but I, you know, knowing that what we're talking about, I've, you know, moved on to other things and I still love breaking the game down, talking about it. But when I look at it, it's a moment in time and it's in the past, you know, now, you know, they're showing KD and Kyrie and, you know, it's a new big three, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's newer, it's younger, it's cooler. And we're the old tape that they're showing. Hey, remember this, you know, we're the remember when guys, which is great, but you know, you always have to have that, you know, you don't have to know what you're doing, but you have to have those things that you enjoy spending your time doing.
Well, that was my last question for you. So you have this, I think it gets overlooked because it's like, oh, the result is that Chris can't play anymore.
Yeah.
But it was like, Chris can't play anymore because he might die
right.
if he plays.
Right.
So you had like a real up close reminder of this mm-hmm. idea of memento mori. Like
it's
life
over.
Is short.
Yeah.
You could go at any moment and now you got to figure out.
Yeah.
You know, you still have this gift of time, but you don't know how long you're here for.
Me and my wife, she's challenged me, you know, being a basketball player, having schedules, which you have to have a schedule, I believe, and do all these things. But she's given a challenge to me that, which I've accepted months ago, was to be more present, stay in the moment a lot more.
Sure.
You know, even if I'm, you know, at my desk writing or making voice memos or, you know, trying to produce some music and or get emails out or read these things that I need to read.
Sure.
When it's time to go with the kids, I put it up and it's time to go with the kids.
Right.
If I'm walking back to the office and I see my wife sitting by the pool and, you know, she's answering some emails too. Hey, babe, let's come out and have lunch.
Right.
All right, cool. I used to be in a point where I'm like, no, I have to go back here. And I've got to go back to the thing. You know, I'm working now. I'm working on, you know, just being more in the moment and appreciating those things. And it's crazy. My work has gotten a lot better. It's been insane.
Well, I struggle with that. I struggle with that too, right? Because to get good at what you do, you have to be driven and you have to be self-driven,
yeah.
right? Like for you sure. don't become great because the coach wants it for you. You have to for want sure. it more than the coach wants it. But then it's really hard to turn that off. So yeah, it's like I like to get up early and I like to get to work. But then it's like, you know, it's 8:03 and I'm like a jerk because I got to get here. And it's like, who's watching? You know, like
right.
if I got there at 8:15, just stay 15 minutes later, you know,
yeah.
like get the work done.
Yeah.
But like you can't you're rejecting this present moment, which could be 5 minutes with your kids, could be a nice conversation with your wife, could just be watching the sunset or
For
the
sure.
sunrise.
For sure.
But I think... What I realize about the Stoics are saying like, where are you rushing towards? You're rushing towards death.
Right,
like,
for sure.
You're trying to get this over with.
You'll be hurrying and then hit the bump and then, oh, you know, heaven forbid, you know?
Well, but also it's like, once you get it all done, what happens? Like,
yeah.
so you finish this, you finish this, you finish this. What's the last thing that happens? You
yeah.
die.
Yeah.
So why rush? Like, you should be present. You should show up. You should experience it because you only get to do it once. And it's almost... arrogant to try to get this thing over with so you could do this thing. Like when
right.
I put my kids down, I go like, you know, it's like taking too long, you know, because they never want to go to bed. I'm like, what am I going to do?
Right.
What am I going to do when you go to bed? Right. Like answer email, watch TV,
right.
snack,
stuff,
you know,
yeah.
like nothing. I'm not going to do anything that's more important than this thing.
Yeah. And I kind of have that same mentality, you know, we've learned to coexist in the house. You know, a lot of the times.
You don't have to travel 42 nights a year.
Yeah, but, you know, so I'm going to have my child coming in while I'm trying to do my work and say, Dad, come here. You got to see this. Dad, let me show you something.
Yeah.
Let me show you something. And I'm going to have to walk across the yard because they want me to show me something. And it used
cool
to be
stick,
like,
man.
Oh, no. Yeah. You know what I mean? No. But now it's like, all right, cool. Yeah, come on. But just having that moment for them to say, wow, they don't care about
yes.
all that stuff. What is important to them is that, hey, Dad came with me to look at my stick.
Yeah.
Look at my pet rock, Dad. Like, oh, it's crazy, bro. You know, it's just,
right.
but having those moments and staying present with that, you know, it's definitely given me more of an appreciation for things and how they happen.
Yeah.
Because this definitely is a great metaphor of that conclusion of saying, okay, man, you know, man, and, you know, and I've had my peers, a few of them gone.
Yeah.
You know, so. Let me make sure I'm enjoying today. Let me make sure if I'm working on something, I'm working on something I want to work on.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not being a mean person. And even if it's a rough day, man, come on, kids, let's go for some ice cream or something or go for a walk or something. But just to do something or be open to the flow taking you somewhere else.
That was one of the most beautiful things I read in an article about Kobe. A couple days before he died, some reporter was like, hey, I want to interview you for this like 20-year anniversary, some big ESPN piece.
Mm-hmm.
And they texted him. He just texted back, nah, I got my girls.
Yeah.
You know, like, and
yeah.
he didn't know that he only had them for 3 more days.
Right.
But
right.
like, and how long could that interview have taken? 10 minutes, 15
right.
minutes? But Yeah, that's everything.
Yeah,
that's everything.
Because he knows, like, I'm going to get in Mamba mode, and I'll be over here. No. My girls. And, you know, my kids are very much the same as well. They're like, hey, Dad, what are you doing? Another interview.
Yeah.
They want to watch cartoons or, you know, we have garden and bees now and stuff.
You're raising bees?
Yeah, we got some bees, man. They want to go see those things. They want to, you know, get their hands dirty and have experiences and activities, and it's, you know, through that I've gotten to live through them and with them and say, wow, oh man, look at all this stuff. It's so cool just to smell the dirt and the air and stuff. You know, that's a great thing to be present for.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate you, man.
Check out the book. It's very good. Thanks for listening to the Daily Stoic Podcast. Just a reminder, we've got signed copies of all my books in the Daily Stoic store. You can get them personalized. You can get them sent to a friend. Whatever you want, we'd love for you to have a copy. I know I love signed copies of some of my favorite books. If you love a signed copy of The Obstacle is the Way, Ego is the Enemy, Stillness is the Key, the leather-bound edition of the Daily Stoic, we have them all in the Daily Stoic store, which you can check out at store.dailystoic.com. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Daily Stoic early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it pop biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.